Today's podcast is sponsored by SiriusXM. SiriusXM just upgraded their free pre-owned program to give your customers trials on the SXM app with purchase of vehicles without SiriusXM install. Now, your customers with and without SiriusXM can enjoy the widest variety of entertainment in and out of the car.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Auto Remarketing Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Sulovich, part of the team at Cherokee Media Group and senior editor at AutoFin Journal and Subprime Auto Finance News. For this episode of the podcast, pleased to welcome back Celia Winslow, who is Senior Vice President at the American Financial Services Association. Celia, thank you again for making time for the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick.
We're sharing our conversation here as 2021 winds down. So what's your evaluation of how federal regulators, and in particular the CFPB and the FTC, have viewed automotive in 2021? What's been noteworthy to you, AFSA, and its members who participate in auto?
Thanks, Nick. As you know, it's been a really interesting year in 2021. I think we went home in 2020 for 2 weeks, and that 2 weeks has stretched throughout quite a bit of 2021. So I think over at the CFPB, starting over there, I think they were really impressed with how auto finance companies handled the pandemic. I heard from a number of people over there that they said that it was great that, first of all, I think that just about all auto finance companies, at least the ones that I've talked to, stopped repossessing voluntarily in 2020 and continued to work with their customers in 2021. And the CFPB seemed very supportive of that. They were concerned that there would be this wave of repo. So they kept kind of waiting for, all right, well, now if money from the government has stopped, if these programs have stopped, there's going to be this wave of repos. And there wasn't one. That's great news for us and for all our customers. And at the Bureau, besides looking at the pandemic response, there hasn't been much of a focus on auto as on other financial services and maybe some non-financial services if we're talking about big tech in 2021. While nothing stopped at the Bureau, there was kind of a hold in the overall agenda until a new director was confirmed, which happened clearly later in 2021. And then over at the FTC, again, the focus really hasn't been on auto as much. Again, we're looking at big tech, and there's been clearly the FTC is always looking at fraud. The one thing that has affected auto is the safeguards role. And after Chopra, who was then Commissioner Chopra, went over to become director of the CFPB, the FTC released its final safeguards rule. And this is the rule that changed the standards for how anybody regulated by the FTC, which does not include banks, but does include finance companies, including auto finance companies, how they're supposed to keep their data secure. And it really changed the standards and made it a lot, really increased them. And some would say that it was a little too prescriptive, but I think our members are working through that to come into compliance with that role. And that could be its whole separate topic.
Indeed. Definitely one to revisit in 2022, to say the least. And again, our guest here on this episode of the Auto Remarketing Podcast is Celia Winslow, who is Senior Vice President at the American Financial Services Association, AFSA. Celia, as you mentioned, the CFPB perhaps hasn't focused on auto quite as much as they have in the past, but yet still the Bureau earlier this year compiled and released a report that examined subprime auto financing in particular, trying to ascertain if malfeasance or other unscrupulous activity is widespread. Certainly you and your colleagues at AFSA examined that report. How did the association react to what the Bureau indicated?
Thanks, Nick. And I'm going to try to remember this is a podcast and people are listening to this maybe while they're driving and they want to stay awake and be as excited about talking about this report as I am. If you haven't read it yet, not while you're driving, but another time when you're home, you should definitely take a look. It's not a very long report. But yeah, so the CFPB put out a report called Subprime Auto Loan Outcomes by Lender Type. And so basically it focused on the interest rates charged by different types of lenders, by banks, by finance companies, by buy here, pay here dealers. And the Bureau didn't seem to really draw a strong conclusion in its report. The authors noted that subprime auto finance is an important segment and warranted study. So it's not clear yet whether this is the first in others or whether this was the first and now they're moving on to other, or this was one and now they're moving on to other topics. I think they're still evaluating over at the Bureau. But basically the report discussed how much of the variation in interest rates among subprime loans can be explained by differences in default rates and how much is left unexplained. And the report found that default rates are not the only explanation for differences in interest rates. And I think most of the listeners today know that. Mm. Importantly, the report acknowledges that it has several limitations. So basically, it said its findings are descriptive and don't establish a causal relationship. And the researchers also said that they don't have access to many other factors that might be relevant, like DTI, PTI, down payment, make and model of the vehicle, all those things that we know that auto finance companies look at when they're making a decision, either to lend to the borrower or in the case of indirect auto loan, whether or not to buy a contract. So the Bureau noted that a lot of qualifiers were missing the Bureau included a lot of qualifiers in the report, noting that they were missing key information, especially from lenders who don't report to credit bureaus. So in fact, they have on one of the pages this chart of the subprime market share by lender type. And the largest category was not banks. It was not auto finance companies. It was missing. 25% of subprime loans in the data set the Bureau used were missing the lender type. Hmm. So you asked about what AFSA's reaction was, and we agree that it's really important to lend to consumers who don't have perfect credit. So subprime auto is a very important sector of the American economy. A lot of consumers out there, you know, have a couple dings. They missed a payment. They may not have perfect credit, but that doesn't mean they don't deserve auto loan. And we're glad that the Bureau noted that there was data missing, and so you couldn't come up with strong conclusions based on the data that was out there. A couple of the concerns that we had with the report, one was that it didn't really go into detail on indirect auto finance. You and I both know most of the time a consumer isn't going around to various different sources, but goes to the dealer, and the dealer has all these relationships and knows who's going to buy a contract, who's not going to buy a contract. And so dealer financing is a very easy way for a consumer to get a really good loan. And it doesn't really go into that whole process. It mentions it in the beginning, but then it seems, when it's talking about how consumers make choices, it doesn't really talk about that very much. And it also implies that subprime consumers could get bank loans. If they just shopped around a little more, they could get a loan from a bank. And you and I both know specialty finance companies exist to serve a market that banks and credit unions won't. They just won't. Their risk tolerance is different. You know, they have rate sheets and banks are not going to buy loans with someone with a 530 credit score.
Right. You know. Right. Well, very, very fascinating insights indeed, and reinforces how complex auto financing really is, and perhaps some lack of knowledge that important players might still have within regulatory or lawmaking entities. Perfect segue to the next question had here on this episode of the Auto Remarketing Podcast with Celia Winslow, who is the Senior Vice President at AFSA. And turning our attention next, and again, thank you for that recap of the Bureau's examination of subprime auto financing. And turning next to interaction with those federal lawmakers and their staffs, what messages has AFSA been trying to convey to those entities, especially in connection with auto, in light of what you shared of what the Bureau report findings were, and just the ongoing, I guess, perhaps education and interaction with federal lawmakers and their staffs with regard to automotive.
Sure. So overall, Nick, our ACCESS message has always been that access to credit is important and that borrowers with a few dings in their credit history shouldn't be shut out of the credit market. Credit shouldn't be something that's reserved for the privileged few. Responsible, affordable credit should be made available to many consumers. And so that's our overall message, and it has been for probably the over 100 years that ACCESS has been in existence. But bringing it a little more to the present, not president, to the present, I think what I'm hearing from a lot, the questions that I'm hearing from a lot of APSA members are on the Paycheck Protection Program or PPP. And so there are a lot of specialty finance companies that weren't sure what was going to happen in March of 2020, had to shut down, dealers were shutting down their stores. They were scared. They needed to be able to pay their employees. They didn't want to lay people off. And so when the federal government passed the CARES Act and said, hey, if you have under 500 employees, you can get this loan from the SBA. And it will be, as long as you use it to pay your employees' salaries, to keep the lights on, you'll get it forgiven. And so a lot of specialty finance companies got these loans, used it for that purpose. Then later on, the SBA said, oh, never mind, lenders, you can't get these loans. But you know what? We'll give them to casinos and we'll get casinos, have them forgiven. Religious schools who normally can't get SBA loans, you can get them. News stations, trade associations, all these other entities that normally don't qualify for SBA loans were allowed to get PPP loans and allowed to get the forgiveness. But that wasn't granted to lenders, even though lenders were tagged by the federal government and almost every state government as essential businesses. And so one of the things we've really been working on is trying to educate people about why these loans should be forgiven. And that will be that's an ongoing discussion, one that started in 2020 and has continued through 2021. For some of our larger auto finance members, one of the big issues right now is Section 1071, which for those of you maybe not buried in the weeds of all of this, is a rule that the CFPB is coming out with that says when you're making a loan to a small business, you've got to ask them for certain information. And this includes things like race or ethnicity, sexual orientation, number of employees. And then you got to gather that and you got to report it back to the Bureau. And so we totally get that we want to make sure that our members, that lenders are lending to small businesses and they're lending to diverse small businesses. That's extremely important. But at the same time, one of the things we've been talking about are how is this actually going to work and how can we do this in such a way that it doesn't actually choke off credit to small businesses? And again, that's another much broader topic. Couple of the other big issues are credit repair. You know, we continue to have this problem where so many people are just submitting frivolous disputes and it takes away from the real credit disputes and the real issues that need to be fixed. And of course, arbitration. We know arbitration is good for consumers. It's good for lenders. It stops the courts from being clogged. But plaintiff's attorneys have really good lobbyists and they keep pushing to have arbitration banned.
Interesting topics to say the least, showing how nothing seems to be simple up on Capitol Hill or elsewhere in Washington, D.C., to say the least. Closing moments here with Celia Winslow, who is the Senior Vice President at the American Financial Services Association. And Celia, I'm presuming a lot of the topics that you just referenced certainly will be on your regulatory radar for 2022. Just what else might you and your APSA colleagues be watching? How aggressive might these federal agencies that now have leadership firmly in place, how aggressive might they become, especially with the pandemic and its impact still lingering on all of us, really?
I do not think you will be surprised to hear that I think they'll be fairly aggressive. We've already seen some changes in the press releases with headings like cheating. Again, they may not be too as focused in auto. Right now, we've seen more of a focus on housing, fintech, and most recently, overdraft. And of course, credit reporting will continue to be something big, and that does affect auto too. But the overdraft is interesting because we haven't seen a rule, there hasn't been an enforcement action, but the Bureau put out a press release and a report and basically said, we're going to be looking at overdraft through supervision. And so I think that this is making changes in the marketplace already. There was one large bank who said they're stopping charging for overdraft. So it just shows a change. You know, with Cordray, we had enforced, you know, regulation by enforcement. And now we're seeing that the impact that just that a press release or that some studies could have. So I think this is something we'll be watching closely. Regulatory rise, we expect the regulatory agenda out soon. I talked to someone in the Bureau actually at the end of October who said, oh, it should be out in the next couple of weeks. But as always with things with the Federal Register or OMB, you know, there's always delays, but I would expect to see that before the end of the year. And I think that that will really show us what direction they're going on. And clearly we'll see things like a final rule for small business lending, and we'll see a data aggregator rule 1033 for those of you who are also who are reading Bureau announcements very closely. But yeah, so I think it's going to be, I think we're setting up for 2022 to be a very busy year in the regulatory arena. It's an election year, so maybe Congress will calm down a little bit, but I expect activity in the Bureau to pick up.
Interesting times indeed. That's Celia Winslow, Senior Vice President at the American Financial Services Association. Celia, thank you so much for sharing such a wide-ranging and informative update of what's happening in the Washington, D.C. area. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick. It's been a pleasure.
And if you've missed any of our past episodes of the podcast, just go to our website at autoremarketing.com and click on the podcast box to find our library of past episodes. For fellow hosts, Bill Seitz and Joe Overby, as well as our executive producer, Matt Rice, I'm Nick Zulovich. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to having you again next time on the Auto Remarketing Podcast.
Today's podcast is sponsored by SiriusXM. SiriusXM just upgraded their free pre-owned program to give your customers trials on the SXM app with purchase of vehicles without SiriusXM install. Now, your customers with and without SiriusXM can enjoy the widest variety of entertainment in and out of the car.